From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. On January 16th, 2017, the mega companies Tegna and MGM announced a big new partnership called BOLD, B-O-L-D, BOLD. And they said it stood for Broadcast Online Live Daily. And BOLD would be, according to the press release, quote, a live, interactive, multi-platform, topical entertainment program, end quote. So, okay, that was the news. And for reasons you'll understand in a second, it was really big news for a woman named Carrie Sheffield. But Carrie didn't actually catch the news herself until she got an email from a friend and occasional colleague.
He emails me and he sends me this press release in January 2017. And he says, oh, Carrie, congratulations on this new partnership. It's really exciting. I want in on this. So let me know the details. I'm scratching my head when I get his email. I'm not telling him this, but I look at the press release and my jaw hits the floor and I just say, wow, someone is trying to steal our name. What do we do?
And that's because for the prior 2 years, since 2015, Carrie had been running an online streaming network called BOLD. Yep. Same name. And not only that, but Carrie's BOLD was basically the same business that Tegna and MGM was describing with their BOLD, which meant that to keep her business's name, Carrie was going to have to go up against these two giant companies worth a combined tens of billions of dollars. There was no other way around it, really. She'd have to defend herself and her little startup against a very wealthy challenger.
It was one of those David and Goliath scenarios.
What happens next is surprising and with some twists and turns that you will not expect. And I'll give you a little spoiler here. This is not the kind of frustrating story where the system just screws the little business. It's also not the kind of story where the little business did everything right. Instead, it's a small and yet complicated and useful tale that highlights the importance of protecting your intellectual property. And it's something anyone starting out in business should pay careful attention to. So, it is a case of BOLD versus BOLD. Who would be bolder? Who would prevail? We boldly go into it all right after the break. Have you ever thought of learning a new language? It's kind of a game changer for an entrepreneur. You're able to connect with more potential partners, clients, customers, and travel more easily too. That's why there's Pimsleur, a conversational method of learning a new language. Pimsleur isn't a game or something you need to interact with a screen to progress through. It's an audio program, which you listen to like a podcast while you go about your daily tasks, running, cleaning, whatever. The program walks you step by step into a language, building your skills and having you repeat words and sentences back. I tried the first Spanish lesson, and it starts so simply with you just saying, excuse me, to someone. Pimsleur is used by the FBI, Homeland Security, State Department, Fortune 500 companies, and more, and the company says you can reach an intermediate level in just 30 days. But don't just take their word for it. Try the full course absolutely free for 7 days, risk-free. You don't have anything to lose by trying, but you have everything to gain. A new language, a new perspective, a new understanding of other cultures. To sign up, go to pimspeaks.com/solvers. That's pimspeaks.com/solvers. And now our second sponsor. Let me tell you my new three favorite letters, OCR. That stands for Optical Character Recognition, and it's the amazing technology inside the Neat Company that's about to save you a lot of time. So, all right, let's back up and understand it all. What is the Neat Company? It makes software that's used by small businesses to better manage expenses and spending. Neat enables you to capture expenses in several ways, either mobile phone by taking a picture of the receipt, or by directly uploading a file, or scanning and emailing. The system uses OCR, there it is, optical character recognition, to read that information off the paper, then put that information in a database in the cloud and integrate it with your accounting system like QuickBooks. so simple, so efficient. Neat is used by small businesses everywhere, from landscapers to real estate brokers to side hustlers, and will help you never lose an expense, maximize your IRS deductions, and just get more time back in your life. And right now, Neat is offering a 30-day free trial. Visit neat.com/problem solvers. Again, to take advantage of a 30-day free trial, visit neat.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So before we understand bold versus bold, let's see where the first bold came from. And it really grew out of Carrie's journalism career. So now follow the bouncing ball, because Carrie has done a little bit of everything. She graduated from Brigham Young University with a degree in journalism, moved to Washington, was a reporter for The Hill, and then one of the founding reporters at Politico, and then went to be an editorial opinion writer for The Washington Times, a conservative newspaper in Washington. Then she went to Harvard to get a master's in public policy, and then went to work on Wall Street for Goldman Sachs and Moody's. But she stayed engaged in the media world, and something was really bugging her about media.
I do a lot of work in on-air commentary on networks like MSNBC, CNN, Fox. And as I like to say, the old school cable model is trying to profit off of conflict.
But she wished there was a lot more productive, real dialogue between the two sides. Carrie is obviously conservative, but she wanted to talk things out with her liberal opponents, not just have each side yell at each other. Then she found an opportunity to create something like that. Through someone she met at a conference, she got connected with Al Roker, who most people know from The Today Show, but who has a production company called Al Roker Entertainment, where he produces new TV and digital content. So she pitched her idea for Bold, a streaming news channel that would feature thoughtful conversation on politics and not just people yelling. For its politics show, Carrie would serve as the conservative host, and her liberal host counterpart would be, of all people, Clay Aitken, one of the American Idol early, well, I guess he didn't win, but he became famous from it, and he had since gotten involved in politics. Carrie had met him on the set of Al Jazeera.
Clay and I were debating minimum wage policy, and we just hit things off, and then we later debated each other on CNN, and we just had this, you know, political romance. He's gay, so it's not anything about, you know, the Mika Joe stuff. But yeah, we just became very close friends.
So it all came together. Carrie recruited Clay, sold the project to Al Roker Entertainment, and on November 30th, 2015, which was symbolic to her because it's Winston Churchill's birthday, fun fact, she officially launched Bold. And for 2 years, Bold basically did its thing, trying to grow an audience and refine its voice. And then in 2017, Carrie sees that announcement. Tegna and MGM have launched a competing service, and they've also called it Bold. And just to be clear, by the way, about who these companies are, MGM, you probably know, it's one of the oldest film companies. Tegna split off from a media giant called Gannett and owns a ton of TV stations in markets around the country. So big players. Now, as you hear, this news came as a shock to Carrie. It's the kind of thing that would make any startup founder nervous. But Carrie had additional reasons to be nervous because, well, she hadn't done something very, very fundamental.
I should say that the first step, and this is where I'm confessing to you, my priest, that we had actually not filed the trademark for Bold Television as a TV news network.
Shocking twist. See, I promised there was a shocking twist. Carrie had been operating Bold for 2 years, and now these hefty competitors had come along and used the same name, and it turns out Carrie didn't actually legally own her own name. She'd done a trademark search before picking the name Bold back at the beginning, so she knew that nobody else used it at the time, but she didn't then move to own it herself. Carrie says she knew all along this was a bad decision. It was just one of a bazillion things she had to do as a startup founder, and she just never got around to it. Now, here is where I'm going to bring another voice into this story.
My name is Joseph Gioconda, and I'm the founder of the Gioconda Law Group, PLLC.
Joe's specialty is intellectual property law. He had nothing to do with Carrie's case, but has a lot of valuable insights for entrepreneurs, so I'm going to be bringing him in throughout this episode to comment on this story from a legal perspective. And first up, I asked him, how stupid was it that Carrie hadn't trademarked Bold the second she launched? And Joe says, of course, that was very stupid. But really, entrepreneurs should be moving to protect their intellectual property even before they launch.
So even before you actually start selling services or goods in commerce, the United States allows you to file an intent to use trademark application, which can be as cheap as $225.
This puts your stake in the ground, Joe says. Now everyone knows you own this name. It'll show up in trademark searches, and if your mark is ever challenged, you'll have something very solid to show the court. And once your intent to use trademark application is allowed, you have 3 years to perfect it. So lots of time. Okay, back to Carrie. So she learns that these two behemoths of industry have moved in on her mark, and she doesn't really own the mark herself. What do you do in this situation? Well, first, Carrie and her lawyers gathered up every piece of evidence they had to prove that they'd been using the name Bold for the past 2 years. They went through every experience, every place the brand name was expressed, and came up with a pretty thorough and high-profile list.
So, including, I interviewed House Speaker Paul Ryan as the founder of Bold TV that was broadcast live on C-SPAN at CPAC, which is Conservative Political Action Conference, which is the Super Bowl for conservatives, on the main stage with the Speaker of the House during a very tumultuous election year, 2016. So there was a lot of attention on this interview, and they introduced me on the loudspeakers, the founder of Bold TV. It was on my lower third in front of thousands of people there in the room, in addition to being broadcast all over.
You can see the level of detail she's going through with this, right? Where did the word Bold appear? Who saw it? She had to be credentialed, for which meant that the Secret Service saw the name Bold. Okay, good. That goes on the list too. And on and on and on. This way, she felt she was creating a record of usage. She was trying to prove what's called common law rights. But how powerful are common law rights? I asked Joe, and he said that in most cases, a large corporation isn't going to be particularly impressed by a common law argument. They're going to say, yeah, well, if the name meant so much to you, why didn't you trademark it? And then it'll go to court, where there's no guarantee that a judge will be impressed by common law examples either.
It depends on a couple of things. It depends on how much use you made of it and how large you were and how visible, because the difference between common law rights and registered rights is significant in the following ways. The first is that a trademark registration from the federal government gives you nationwide constructive priority of rights notice to everyone. And so you can then say, there's really no dispute that I was making nationwide use of this mark in the United States, and that I put everybody on notice. When you don't do that, when you have a usage but you don't have a registration, you don't get a lot of legal presumptions in your favor. So you don't get the presumption of nationwide use, for example. You then argue, I made use, and then the court says, yeah, but it might have been limited geographically.
It's easier to think of this geographical thing with a brick and mortar store example. So let's take a pizza shop. You open a place called Carrie's Pizza, and you operate it with no trademark, and you operate it in New York for 10 years. Then some nationwide company comes along, and they call themselves Carrie's Pizza 2, and they argue, yeah, well, this little first Carrie's Pizza may have existed before us, but it doesn't own the name nationwide. It hasn't operated nationwide. The only people aware of it are in one neighborhood in New York. Now, Bold, by being a streaming internet show, would have had a more complicated argument to make, but all the same, there's no guarantee of success. Now, Carrie knew this, of course. She knew she wasn't standing on totally solid ground, but she had to play the cards that she had. And that meant that her plan was basically this. Number one, she was going to file that trademark for the name Bold. Two, then she was going to gather up all these common law examples that she could find. And then three, she was going to have to send all of that to Tegna and MGM along with a cease and desist letter. So, but before she even sends the letter, Carrie and her team begin to game out the possible outcomes of this fight that they're about to pick, and Carrie actually starts to feel pretty good about her chances.
We actually realized there were four scenarios, and if we played our cards right, any four of those four scenarios could be a win for us. The first would be that they back away and they change their name. That's a win.
No question, that would be a win. I asked Joe, by the way, how often big companies simply back down in a situation like this. He said, not often, but it happens.
Number three, they want to syndicate our content because the content, the way it was described in their news release, sounded very similar to our content.
And Joe says, yeah, that's a possible outcome. Though for that to happen, the math would have to be on the small entrepreneur's side.
They do a business comparison, a question of pure business of which it costs more money, right? Is it going to cost more money for us to rebrand internally and change our own name and go through the process all over again and have to rebrand? Or how much money, how much cash would this person want in order to sign a document that basically says they'll change their name and give up any right to be an obstacle?
So that means that in this scenario, there are a lot of unknowns for Carrie, right? I mean, if Tegna and MGM had put a lot of money into their name Bold, they might see it as more cost effective to just drive Carrie into the ground. I mean, imagine it. If Tegna and MGM estimated that changing their Bold name would cost, I don't know, $1 million, and they thought they could totally just squash Carrie and legal fees for only $500,000, that's the more cost effective route. And it's not like the court is going to stop that from happening. It's not like a judge cares. This is me talking, not me paraphrasing Joe. So just let's be honest. The court system is a weapon for rich people and companies. That's all it is. So for this option to work out, Carrie would have to hope that Tegna and MGM would see the opposite calculation. They'd have to see that paying Carrie would cost less than a legal battle. All right. So those are the first two outcomes Carrie imagines. Let's keep going.
Number three, they want to syndicate our content because the content, the way it was described in their news release, sounded very similar to our content.
That would be pretty awesome if it happened. Instead of a legal battle, both Bolds would just decide to pair up, and Tegna and MGM Bold would start picking up and using the content from Carrie's Bold, and there'd be one big Bold. Now, Joe says that something like this is possible, but he's almost never seen it happen.
That would require a certain degree of flexibility. And my experience anecdotally is that large corporations rarely have that flexibility to do deals on the fly.
Frankly, it's simply easier for them to fight something out legally than it is to change something about their project's business model. All right, and here is the last possible option Carrie envisioned.
And the fourth scenario was the DEF CON 5 scenario, which is they say, who cares? We're going to proceed. We will crush you like a bug, in which case we are not going down without a fight. I'm going to go on every talk show, as I mentioned, on CNN, MSNBC, wherever, and talk about how this huge corporate interest, you know, I could get the Bernie supporters on my side. I could get the Trump supporters by saying liberal MGM Hollywood elites are trying to crush the conservative commentator and steal our intellectual property. Either way, we make a splash. That's a win.
Now, this one definitely intrigued me because I've seen plenty stories like this in the news. I'm sure you have too. Some little company is challenged by a big company, and then the little company takes their case to the press, and plenty of outrage follows. Remember, for example, when Starbucks went after a one-man coffee kiosk in London called Starbox Coffee, like the word star space B-O-X coffee. It got press, but ultimately Starbucks prevailed. So I asked Joe, how often is a company publicly shamed enough that it will back off a trademark dispute?
Rarely. It can work that a litigation, a trademark dispute, or an IP dispute generally, can become a headache. And the one that springs to mind, maybe not quite analogous because it's not big guy versus small guy, but rather big guy versus big guy, was when CBS's Les Moonves chose to launch a major multi-million-dollar copyright dispute with Howard Stern over the ownership of the old tapes. And what Howard Stern did, which was kind of an entrepreneurial approach, was that he went on all the talk shows, if you recall, and did nothing but badmouth CBS and Les Moonves on all the talk shows and on his radio show, just nonstop, right? Just made Les Moonves the public face of CBS and attacked him.
And CBS eventually settled the case and took the loss. But of course, very few people have the kind of megaphone that Howard Stern does. So anyway, to summarize, Carrie figured she had four options. She'd either win this thing outright, she'd sell the name Bold, she'd partner with this other Bold, or she'd get into a knockout public fight with Tegna and MGM.
As we were getting the materials and writing the cease and desist, I'm nerve-wracked. And in some respects, I thought, well, maybe this is just the end to the purgatory of startup life. Like, maybe this is it. Maybe, you know, this just means Bold is not meant to be, in which case I could sleep better at night. So because my life was really, really crappy when we first started Paul. So in some respects, I thought, well, maybe this is just, you know, the end of my prison sentence. So we'll do the best that we can. And so we put the strongest letter that we could together.
Then she sent it off, and she felt calm after that. Carrie is very into stoicism and the feeling that you do everything you can and then just let it go. So off the letter went, and she felt a sense of calm. What would happen? She didn't know, except at least she'd know soon enough what was going to happen next. And amazingly, it didn't actually take long to find out.
We got a very quick email response on February 15th, which happened to be my birthday in 2017. So it ended up being a really exciting birthday present because the email was from someone from Tegna saying that they were very sorry to hear about this because they did not know that we existed and that they meant no ill will. They wished to have no conflict and that they wanted to speak on the phone.
Both Tegna and MGM would soon back off. They said they did a trademark search at the very beginning of this and didn't see Bold, which, of course, we know why they didn't find it. But they were willing to just change the project's name. Why? Carrie can only speculate. I mean, my best guess is because these two big companies hadn't invested that much in it yet. I mean, remember, this is all taking place shortly after they sent a press release announcing their new Bold. But changing the name wouldn't cost all that much. They probably hadn't built a studio or whatever yet. And it goes back to what Joe was saying earlier about this stuff being a simple math question. What costs more, fighting it or changing it? The answer here was fighting it would cost more. Tegna and MGM would eventually change their project to be called Daily Blast Live. Though, amusingly, the tagline for Daily Blast Live is this: bold, unfiltered, always on. So, you know, they didn't entirely give up the word bold. And Carrie's gonna let that slide.
A little bit. You know, bold is a very powerful word. So we can share and agree on that note.
Now, let's be clear. Carrie was very, very lucky here. Joe tells me that this outcome is exceedingly rare. And both Carrie and Joe agree that the lesson here for entrepreneurs is to take this as a cautionary tale. Protect your IP as early as you possibly can. Have a plan in place, not just for your name, but for your materials, your products, whatever it is. Because as Joe told me, especially in a digital era, your intellectual property is becoming more and more what defines your business. Carrie was lucky. You may not be. That's why it's not even worth the risk. And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonfeifer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Feifer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonfeifer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.